Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. You're listening to Let's Talk Pella. Today we're going to hear from Natalie Hutchinson. She's the director of the Geisler Library at Central College. She's going to tell us about a collection they have there that details Martin Luther King's visit to the college.
Today we're going to be talking about Martin Luther King's visit to Central College and a collection that you have here at the Geisler Library detailing that visit. Can you give me a little bit of the background on his visit here?
Well, it's a really important part of life of the college. Dr. King visited here. He spoke on campus. If you've been on campus very much, you'll probably have seen kind of what we refer to as the iconic photograph of Dr. King standing, talking to people.
Where was that on campus that he actually spoke?
That was in the Student Union at the time is where he spoke, if I remember correctly. So.
And then what year was it that he came here?
1967. In March of 1967, he came here.
So that's a year before he died, if I remember correctly.
So, yes.
So what did it do to the college that he visited here? What changed here at the college?
Well, I think it was a really interesting opportunity for our students to hear a speaker on the national stage who came to campus. When you go back and look through the materials that we have, it's really interesting to see what the reactions were before he came to visit and after he came to visit, not just from the Central College students, faculty, and staff, but also from the Pella community, from whom this was a fairly big deal.
So did the community get involved and come out as well, or was it mostly just people from Central?
You know, that's a really good question. We have a few photographs of the time period. And of course, I've talked to a few people who were there or knew people who were there. There were some community people here, as far as I know. In our photographs, we have a large number of students and faculty there, of course. But I believe there are also community patrons here as well.
So do you know why he chose to visit Central? Was he just on a tour of the state, or was there a specific reason?
It was specific invitation on part of the college president at the time.
So he made the decision, and then Martin Luther King accepted.
Yes. Yes, it was sent out. As I recall reading from the letters, you know, it went out to Dr. King's secretary, who managed his time and his travel and his visits, and suggested that there would be a very lengthy visit. There would be a lot happening, several different events. Of course, Dr. King had a very, very busy schedule at the time. So he was able to come, though, and do give us this hour of his time for his speech.
So you actually have the letters between with the president here trying to organize this?
We do. We have the letters going back and forth. We also have some letters that people wrote to the president and to the college expressing their opinions about Dr. King's visit. And
good and bad? Or
There's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. You know, we look back at those letters now as people of our time. But at the time, there were people who had concerns about Dr. King's stated philosophies, people who had concerns about such a big name person coming to Pella. In some of the letters, you'll see a few little things like, you know, busloads of protesters are going to show up as well, or, you know, this man is a communist or a firebrand, and who knows what's going to happen when he comes to our town. You know, a lot of those kind of concerns that were shared. We look back on those now and think, well, that's, you know, really silly. But again, I think one of the advantages or one of the things that our archives do for us is they give us a snapshot of history. They give us a quick picture of what people were doing and thinking and feeling at any viewpoint at a particular time. And so we look back at that now and think, oh my goodness, but that is a really valuable picture of what things were like back then.
So was there an immediate recognition that these things needed to be saved and archived, or was it something that you had to go back through and dig up later?
Well, it's kind of a combination of both things. I mean, obviously, people are like, Dr. King is coming to our campus. So some things were saved. I know, for example, in our collection, we have the microphone that he used when he spoke that day. And somebody had the thought at the time to think, you know what, this is going to be important someday. We'll want to have this. So we actually have the microphone upstairs in the archives as part of the MLK collection. Interestingly enough, I used that with a group of Central College students. They're education students. students who came over wanting to look at these materials because they were trying to put together a lesson plan for one of their classes. And they wanted to put together a lesson plan on Dr. King. And so actually, I went over to their class with them where they gave this lesson plan they would normally give for the elementary students. And that's one of the things we did is we brought out this piece of history, this microphone that we had, and everybody got to hold in their hand for just a second and take a look at it. And I think there's something really valuable to that. It's a real way to connect ourselves to a past that we oftentimes only get to hear about or read about. The actual objects can bring out something really important that we miss otherwise.
Being able to actually hold that object in your hand, I feel like a lot of places would, you know, we keep that behind a glass case where no one could actually get that intimate connection with it.
Well, of course, you know, we do want to keep these materials safe. We do keep them in a locked environment. We keep them, they're housed in materials that are designed to hold archival materials so that they'll last a long time and be available to historians and researchers down the road. But one of the things that I strongly believe that is whenever we can, we need to get those things out. We are a college. We have a really interesting history, and I like getting those things out and into the hands of the students who can learn something from them, use them, as in the case with these education students, as an opportunity to teach others, to teach kids. I just think that it's living history, and we need to let it live while balancing, making sure that we take care of it for the future.
So do you ever find any more artifacts from this? Do more artifacts continually come up, or have you pretty much got it nailed down now?
Well, we're always on the lookout for things. In fact, it's very interesting. One day I got this email, and somebody said, I was poking around the Des Moines Register archives, and here's a picture of Dr. King coming for the visit, you know, and shaking hands with the college president at the time. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So we added that to the collection. So in that way, it's growing. We're constantly on the lookout for things that will help give us maybe some context of the time period. You know, those sorts of things. So we're always on the lookout for things to add to this collection. And that's one of the fun things about doing archives work. Suddenly you get wonderful surprises from people who have pieces of history they didn't know they had. And suddenly you hear about it, and there it is.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me today.
Certainly. I'm glad to talk with you. Thanks.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Pella, where we've heard from Natalie Hutchinson, Library Director at the Geisler Library in Central College, and she's told us about a collection they have regarding Martin Luther King's visit to the college in 1967. Keep it tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Today's official Weather Eye meteorologist forecast is next.